Hello and welcome to RTÉ Radio 1's The Rolling Wave podcast with me, Aoife Cormack. In this episode, I'll be talking to writer and musician Sean McIlwain about his new book, Our Dear Dark Mountain with the Sky Over It, a book about the music of Slieve Bay featuring tunes collected by James Whiteside. Tunes there, Owen Connolly's John, Joe McElroy's and Mick Rooney's, and they were chosen for us tonight on The Rolling Wave by my guest, who is Sean McIlwain, and he's with me in studio to talk about his newly published book, or recently published book, Our Dear Dark Mountain with the Sky Over It, the James Whiteside collection. Sean, you're very welcome to The Rolling Wave.
Thank you very much, Aoife. Lovely to be here.
So we might as well start with those tunes. Tell me about those tunes. Who's playing on those? And that recording is from a sort of an earlier incarnation of this same project.
That's right.
So who are the musicians? And then we'll get into the book.
There's, I suppose, the main musical instrument you heard there was banjo with Conor McHaig, a great musician from Scotstown in County Monaghan. And then Brian McGraw was on piano. And that was myself tinkering away on the bouzouki in the background as well.
So, tinkering.
Yeah.
And that CD, the CD with that recording, and we'll be hearing some more from that CD later, that was sort of step one in this project, wasn't it?
That's right,
yeah. Tell me about the genesis of the project.
Well, I suppose the project, it was a long time, in mind. As I was growing up in Monaghan, I was kind of aware, or maybe unaware, of the tradition that was locally, in the area. When you're growing up in a place like Monaghan at that stage, you kind of were very aware of the musical traditions of other places like Galway, Clare, Donegal, etc. But I wouldn't have heard much about Monaghan. And even though there was a lot of young musicians playing, there was kind of no backstory to it. I suppose just over my lifetime, I kind of got interested in trying to find out a little bit more about the music of the region. That took me down a certain pathway where I was over in the States, and I happened to find manuscripts that were collected during the 1800s in kind of that North Monaghan, Fermanagh area. And from that, then the project kind of took legs. And I suppose over the years, I did it through an academic route as well. But trying to bring the music back into circulation, back into the hands of the people who, in the region, who would have played it, over the centuries. So that was the earlier incarnation, was the CD. And I suppose with the CD, you get a sense of the music, but just to kind of bring it on a step further, I want to actually bring the manuscript back to anybody who'd be interested in it. So that's where the book came out of.
Okay, well, tell me first, James Whiteside. Who was James Whiteside, and what do we know about him?
Well, James Whiteside was a school teacher from Knockatallan in County Monaghan, and he lived, I suppose, the 1844 was his date of birth. So he kind of lived that sort of post-famine era in the area, in a very rural area. Now, he eventually left the area, moving to Bray, where he became known as the Bard of Bray. And I suppose that's kind of where you would probably get most reference to him. Captain Francis O'Neill would have had him included in some of his publications and had little bits of information about him. But locally, there was very little known about him. I suppose nationally, his name had kind of slipped down the pecking order. You know, that he wasn't, his publication that Francis O'Neill talked about wasn't in really, wasn't accessible. So when I came across it again, it sort of helped fill in this backstory a little bit of him. And, his manuscript is very interesting in a regional sense, I suppose, because it gives us an insight into that period of time in the area. The names of the tunes are very much linked to the local area. The musicians from whom he collected are very interesting figures, because I suppose just doing the genealogy of some of those musicians, you can see the linkages bringing you right back into the 1700s. And, you're into a period there where there's very interesting things happening, I suppose, in traditional music.
Was he a musician as well himself?
He was. He was a fiddle player. He was a piper. He was a harp player. He would have competed at the different Oireachtas competitions in the Fheisceáil. both in instrumental competition, but also in, you know, there was a competition for best unpublished airs. So his manuscript would have found its way into those sort of revival bodies at that stage, and would have been lauded at that stage as being very, very good and very important. But again, just over the years, they kind of fell away as well.
There's a brilliant story in the book about his first fiddle, or him making a fiddle.
That's right, yeah.
Can you tell me that story?
That's right. Well, I suppose he had a colourful personality, I think, you know, very inventive. But he told the story about making his own fiddle and his own bow. And, you know, he kind of suggests that it wasn't of the highest quality, and that he wasn't allowed to play the fiddle because there was a younger brother in the house. So his, I suppose, his way of getting around that sort of problem, when the child was sleeping, he wasn't allowed to play. But he said if he could kind of nip the child and wake up the child would be crying. Therefore, he had free
permission
reign.
Granted.
Permission granted, yeah.
I think his mother threw that fiddle into the fire as well at
she
some stage.
She did, yeah. And he attributed his bad bow hand to the bow he made, but
yeah,
you know.
Yeah. Interesting. It's interesting the routes people the measures people go to get their hands on instruments. You know?
Exactly, yeah.
So the area then that he was collecting music in, the Slieve Bay region, where is that geographically?
Well, geographically, it's kind of North Monaghan into, I suppose, East Fermanagh and a bit of Tyrone, and it's an interesting area in itself in that there wasn't a whole lot of talk about it when I was growing up. You know, over different periods of time you would see a lot written about it, other times very little. So going back in history, it was kind of a very unified area that was kind of acknowledged as such, you know, in the annals of the Four Masters. They talked about Slieve Bay being the starting point of the Irish nation, and then over history and ecclesiastical history you'd see early Christianity settling in Slieve Bay, and you know, it's very close to Clare, which would have been the seat of the church at that stage in the area. But then I suppose in latter history you would have seen the border coming in through the area, dividing the area and splitting it in a sense from itself. So during the 20th century you would see it sort of divorcing itself from the culture was very similar, but people grew apart distance wise. It was kind of very hard to traverse that sort of area. And I know growing up in Monaghan, you know, we would have been brought down to the border and you'd see the roads would have been, you know, exploded. They would have been gone. So you couldn't actually get into Tyrone from my house, the most natural way to go across. And even into Fermanagh, you know, that area kind of became divorced from themselves. But then with the Good Friday Agreement, you can kind of see the kind of the dividend, as they talk about, how the, you know, it's kind of the roads are open. People can move across this region again. So the kind of the manuscript, I suppose, just kind of fills in that picture, or the book kind of tries to provide a sort of backstory to that era that maybe people have forgotten about, the music that was kind of shared across that area.
It's interesting. And the instruments then in that area, I mean, we mentioned the fiddle, but was it pipes? Was it fiddle? Was it singing? What was it?
Yeah, well, singing would have been a big part of it, I suppose. You have the Ulster tradition of singing would have been similar there. John Maguire, Come Day, Go Day, God Send Sunday, that, you know, he was not too far in, you know, is a similar sort of area. But the fiddle would have been kind of king. There would have been pipes. Phil Martin, who would have performed in RTE, he was from not too far away, and he would have performed with Owen Connolly, who you mentioned a while ago. But fiddle, singing, bit of piping, was kind of flute playing as well, was another element that would have been very important at the time.
One of the other pieces of music, just speaking of the pipes, one of the other tracks on the album that you've chosen is Lullaby for the Irish Pipes. Tell me about that tune.
Yeah, well, that's a very unusual tune, very lovely tune in my estimation. But it would have been composed, I think, by Whiteside. Now, it's not 100% clear if he did compose it, but there's a story from Leo Rosen that like Whiteside used to visit their home house, and that he remembers when he was a very young child, James Whiteside playing on the pipes, playing lullabies for them, and kind of being very unusual use of the drones and regulators, etc., to try to, you know, create this atmosphere in a lullaby. So it's probably likely that this lullaby was composed by Whiteside as well.
Lullaby for the Irish Pipes, played there by Donal McCaig and Eamon Curran. And I'm here with Sean McIlwain talking about his book, Our Dear Dark Mountain, with the sky over it. The title of the book, Our Dear Dark Mountain with the sky over it, where does the title come from?
It actually comes from a newspaper article that was written by another very central figure from the area called Eamon Murray. Now, Eamon Murray, he was involved in the foundation of Coltis Cothray Éireann in the 50s, but I suppose predating that he would have written a lot for the local newspaper, the Northern Standard. And he was a very, very astute man, very, very wise to, you know, music, very appreciative of the culture, tried and to do an awful lot to salvage what he could, to kind of promote it. But one of the things he talked about was this mountain, this region, and he called it Our Dear Dark Mountain with the sky over it. He had a kind of a poetic nature, you know, and, you know, some of his writing is very, very nice. And I suppose in the book, I've tried to bring a little bit of that, you know, into the book and kind of reflect and kind of, I suppose, just give due recognition to him in the book.
Yeah, it's very nice. And there are some of his poems in the book, yeah, as well, yeah. And it's a very beautiful looking book as well. We were saying, just I was saying to you just before we began, it's a lovely publication.
Oh,
as well. We mentioned Owen Connolly at the start. We had a tune from him, and you have profiled some of the musicians of the area, I suppose, in this book. There's Owen Connolly, Owen McCaffrey, Mick Dalrooney. Tell me about some of those. Were they people who would have been all of the same era?
No, they kind of would have been, I suppose, preceded. I suppose Owen Connolly would have been the most recent of those, and he would have been at the start of the 20th century, and he would have performed regularly on 2RN, as RTÉ was known at the time, and he would have been kind of celebrated as the best musician of his era, you know. And I've talked to various musicians about him. He would have performed with Leo Rosum up here in Dublin as well, and there would have kind of been those connections. I suppose preceding him, then, there was another musician called Mick Dalrooney, who would have been that 1800s post-famine era. Now, Mick was, I suppose, an itinerant musician. He would have travelled around the region a lot, performing in houses, etc., and sort of sharing that music across the region, you know, as was done at the time. And going back then, before him, he would have been apprenticed to another blind musician called Owen McCaffrey. And Owen McCaffrey was talked about as being a celebrated musician of the late 1700s. And he would have performed for the Rossmore family. You know, he would have been very, very well regarded. And just kind of just after the Harpers, you know, he would have been kind of that sort of similar era, you know, and maybe kind of preceded them, you know, with kind of being the musician of importance in the region.
So when you put them sort of chronologically then, or when you put them consecutively after each other, they give you a very long arc over the history of that time and place.
Exactly, and that's why I think the manuscript's very important for us in the area, in that it allows you, from going from a point of view where there was very little history of music, that it kind of started in the year, you know, whatever. But now with the manuscript, you can kind of link up these threads. You can actually get a fuller picture of who was about, what were they playing, and just brings you right back into that era of history where, yes, there was a very, very vibrant tradition. You know, it gives us that sort of richness maybe that was lacking before.
And would there have been much Irish in yeah, you know, amongst those musicians?
Well, there was Irish in the general area, I suppose. Like that part of Monaghan was quite remote. It still is quite remote. I suppose Irish did survive there probably in the 1940s, 1950s. I know definitely Owen Connolly, he used to perform in a house in the area, and there was Irish in that house, you know. So it would have been kind of this similar culture. And Eamon Murray talked about that. He talked about this being kind of the last link that was still kind of the strongest in the area to this kind of older Gaelic culture, you know. So it definitely lasted probably longer than other places. And again, there's the you know, it was rich in folklore. Like, you had folklore, the folklore department coming out and collecting, you know, saying that there was so much folklore in the area, you know. And that some of those things are in the PhD, but in the book also, that, you know, probably it was probably kept a little bit of that culture, maybe more so than other parts of the country, for a long time.
The James Whiteside collection features, you know, tunes associated with many of these musicians. So what was James Whiteside's method of collecting? I mean, was he, because he wasn't present for all of these people's lifetime, so how did this collection come into being?
Yeah, well, there are a few questions about it. I think the manuscript that I have in my possession is the one that he ultimately submitted to these competitions, like the Festival and the Oireachtas. So it's a very well presented manuscript, beautiful handwriting, you know, very clean, no mistakes, no editing. So it looks like it's a kind of a final copy of something. The tunes he attributes to musicians, you know, so it's hard to know whether he collected them at some stage and then recopied them into this manuscript, or whether these were from his memory. But, you know, he attributes tunes to Mick Dalrooney, to other musicians from the region. So it's hard to know what his method of collecting was. But, you know, I definitely think this manuscript is kind of the final version of his work.
Okay, well, let's take another tune from your selection. Maybe the Grantchaw Boys set. So there's the Grantchaw Boys, Three County Hollow and Sporting Lads of Scotstown.
That's correct. So Grantchaw is a place in Monaghan, and Whiteside would have been a teacher in the Grantchaw National School during his lifetime. And then the Three County Hollow is kind of a name of a place in that area where Monaghan, Tyrone and Fermanagh meet. And Whiteside said this was a favourite place for dancing at one stage, although it was long since. And then the final one is the Sporting Lads of Scotstown, which is from another manuscript, but we included it on the CD.
The tunes in the book, you know, their character, obviously they come from different people and there are some compositions in there, but do they have, in your view, a particular musical character or a musical style or personality? Are they suitable for certain instruments? Are there more fast ones and slow ones? You know, what do you get in the collection?
It's unusual, I suppose. Probably fiddle would be kind of the instrument you take most from it, really. I think, not that I'm an expert fiddle player by any means, but just talking to the people, you know, that seems to be like certain tunes that we kind of made up for, you know, maybe the McKenna's Reel, for example, maybe has that sort of open A string that people maybe would use. But there's quite a few hornpipes, and one of the musicians, you know, that I listened to one of the old archival recordings, he said there was an awful lot of hornpipes played in Monaghan for some reason. For some reason, there seems to be quite a lot of hornpipes in this collection, from Mick Rooney in particular.
And, you know, when you get a collection like this, because, you know, in recent years especially, various collections have been published or things come to light and people, you know, manage to get collections together. So what can you learn from a collection of music like this, apart from the tunes themselves?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, there's a historical element, I suppose. One of the people that I would read a little bit about and read off would be Henry Glassie, who did a lot of work in Fermanagh. And he talked about place, you know, being like a, you know, there's so much memory imbued in place, you know, that when you enter a place, time kind of loses relevance, that there's memories from different eras embedded in place. And kind of the same in music, you know, there's kind of memories of different eras in the music we play all the time. You know, there's musicians, there's kind of from different periods of time. But I think that the music that in this book, I suppose, allows you to kind of enter into that sort of that landscape. And I suppose that's one of the things I was trying to get in the book, that when people got the book with the photographs, with the poetry, they would nearly enter into this space, this place, maybe that they hadn't heard about before. You know, it's just a small place. I'm sure most people wouldn't have been there. But to kind of enter into the folklore, the heritage, the sight of it, you know, the sounds of it. So I think that's kind of, it allows people to kind of enter into that space and kind of look at the region across different eras, you know, and get an idea of who we are, maybe in a musical sense from that.
Well, look, it's a fine project, and I know you've been working on it now for a long time, because the CD was a few years ago.
2014, 10 years ago.
So it's very nice then to be able to publish the tunes now and the backstory and the information about James Whiteside. Is there more to be done, do you think? There are you, are you walking away?
No, there's definitely more to be done, and, you know, in 2034 and 2044 I have them penciled in to come back and talk to you about them.
Well, look, it's a fascinating book. Our Dear Dark Mountain with the Sky Over It, as I say, it's a beautiful looking book as well. And it's got the James Whiteside collection, the whole collection of tunes printed at the back. and by Sean McElwain, and it's published by Dark Mountain Publications. I saw it myself in a shop in Galway recently. I presume it's available.
It is, yeah, and it's available online as well if you wish at oddm.ie.
Okay, and the CD is available on Bandcamp, I think, as well,
exactly,
isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's finish with a tune. Which track would you like to finish with, Sean?
We might finish with a set of reels called Miss Mullins, The Green Cockade and Margaret Jackson's. And the first two of those come from the manuscript, and then the final tune, Margaret Jackson, actually was collected from a granduncle of mine, and it was in the Brannock collection.
Was he a musician as well?
He was a fiddle player also.
Well,
yeah.
Tell me about him now.
Well, he was Owen McCaig. He was one of the McCaig dynasty. My grandmother was McCaig, so all the McCaigs are collected, and there's a lot of great fiddlers in those. I got the McElwain jeans for the fiddling, so I'm more on the guitar and bouzouki and stuff.
Okay, well, look, at Sean McElwain, thanks a million. This is Miss Mullins, Green Cockade and Margot Jackson. Thanks for listening to the Rolling Wave podcast. For rights reasons, the music here is shorter than in the original broadcast. So if you'd like to hear the full tracks, you can go to rte.ie/radio1/the Rolling Wave. And this programme was first broadcast on the 5th of April 2024. Till the next time, Gura Míle Maithagi, agus slán.